Best Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Discover our commitment to our clients. At Life and Legacy, building wealth, securing your family's future, giving back, and creating a lasting legacy are not just values, but a way of life. Let us guide you toward a future aligned with what matters most to you. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. Now here's your hosts, Robin Bailey and Al McDonald.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. Today, we are thrilled to have Marlene Carrington with us, practice lead for people and culture solutions at CareerJoy, and also one of my friends I get to hang out with at industry events because it's so much fun seeing her. Marlene, it's great to have you on the show.
Great. Thanks so much for having me. I'm very excited about today.
I'm very excited too, because it was so good to see you at Tech Talent North a few weeks ago. We had a great time. We were able to sit in, I think, on Carl Wilson Oliver's. Was that the, I think that's the one. And Cara knocked it out of the park, as always. Love her energy. But what were your key takeaways from the event this year? How'd you find it overall?
There were so many different things, like managing stress. The one about thriving under stress was so timely, I think, for everybody right now.
I think so too. Yeah.
But just, you know, the evolving role of the CHRO and hearing from different people about their journey. And I think that was very fascinating. There were so many different things and so many different topics that just all seemed so relevant. I was so glad I was able to go.
And I've done this on a previous podcast, but I'll do it again. Michelle Brooks, who is the MC for the day, just knocked it out of the park, kept everyone the energy high. That was only my second time at that event, and it's something I'm going to make on a regular basis now, on an annual basis, because I just met so many great people that day, and I was so happy toward the end of the day. Hannah Yardley gave me a shout out as, not for business, mind you, it was go talk to Robin Bailey, because one of his previous jobs is pretty interesting, and I'll give a little clue. If you find me at the next event, I'll tell you what the story is, but if you come and chat with me, I'll give you your 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, because I have a good story around that. So come and find me at the next event. I'll be at the HRPA and I will tell you that when I see you. Well, let's talk about CareerJoy, because for those who may not be familiar, can you share what does the company do? And to me, more importantly, like what drew you there? Because that's the story that I'm curious about.
Yeah, CareerJoy we're a Canadian organization and we provide HR solutions to corporations and to individuals actually, supporting people's career advancement, leadership development, DE&I initiatives, as well as high potential or aspiring leader, I guess is the new way to say it, besides high potential, because everybody has potential. Then we do that through a number of different avenues that include things like workshops, group coaching, one-on-one coaching. And we also do outplacement, which sometimes when I mention that, people go, oh, like they think of it kind of like an ambulance chaser kind of idea. But it's really, I think, like ambulances, I think it's an essential service. It's something that is good for the individual, because when somebody loses their job, it's a traumatic event and it changes their life. And
absolutely,
a lot of people don't really know what to do next. And they kind of wallow in what happened versus thinking forward and thinking what's next for them. So we help them do that. But it's also good for companies, because the employees that are still there see that even in having people leave the organization, they're still treating them in a human way. And it does a lot for employee morale and your employee brand and mitigates risk. So it's good for both sides, besides just being the right thing to do.
I love what you said there about the employees that are left behind when someone leaves, and something that we've experienced as we've grown our company. And it's a term I wish I could take credit for, but I can't. Elizabeth Lynch, who is our fractional HR person, came up with the term of our company's called Aria Benefits, Aria Alumni. Mm-hmm. So when people leave, you know, it's not scorched earth. Yep. We had one person leave about a year ago and he ended up at one of the carriers that we deal with. And the proud moment for me came when he came back and said, yes, I'm leaving. Here are the reasons why. I'm very upset about it, but here's why it makes sense. And just so you know, I negotiated that I wouldn't take the job unless I could be your account executive working with your team. And I thought, wow, how brilliant is that? And it's turned into a really nice relationship. So I love that you saw. And trust me, your employees see that. They see how you treat people who have mm-hmm. left. So I think that's made our team even stronger and realize, wow, this is a great place to be for now. And this relationship, hopefully I can carry on through time. The second part of that question, which I wanted to hear a little more about, Career Joy, how did Marlene end up there? Like, what drew you to this line of work and your company specifically?
I think it's an interesting story. I guess everyone else can decide if it is. I had done a lot of different types of roles, selling different types of HR solutions, and worked for a lot of really big global companies, and Canada being a small part normally of a North American company. I didn't really like where I was at the time, and we parted ways. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to go visit my parents out in Nova Scotia, which I love. And it's so hard to come back to Toronto from there. And I spent 6 weeks. I just bought a one-way ticket. And I'm like, I'm staying till I, you know, need to leave. And it was great. I just had a great opportunity to really think about what is it that I really love to do, and not just about around my career, but what kind of company do I want to work for? So really some of the things that we do for our outplacement folks now are some of the things that I was thinking about before I even started Career Joy. And I had bought a book by Marcus Buckingham called Love and Work. And with the launch of the book, he did I think it was 6 weeks session where he would log on and he would just talk about one of the chapters. So I did that, and really thinking about, okay, what is it, you know, when you really love what you do, you really perform better and you get more out of it. The company gets more out of it, and you just feel like you're doing something worthwhile. So I'm like, okay, I need that. That's what I want. So what does that look like for me? And I really want to enjoy what I do. And so the name Career Joy itself kind of stood out. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And because it's a Canadian company as well, and it was a smaller company, so it really gave you some autonomy and ability to work your piece of the business the way you want to do it. So after meeting with the founder, Alan Kearns, who's an interesting fellow, like, just seemed like the perfect fit for me at the time. So that's how I got there.
Marlene, you've talked about outsourcing a little bit a couple of times now. I would love to hear maybe if you have a success story to share.
Okay. With?
Well, if you maybe terminated someone's work, but then you want to help them move on to that next step in their career and, you know, not look at it as something that is detrimental, but actually something that's positive.
Yeah, absolutely. We do a check-in with people. So we used to do on-sites. A lot of companies don't do that anymore. So we do a check-in 24 hours after they get notified that their job is no longer there. And we meet with all kinds of emotions. Some people like, yeah, I knew it was coming. Yeah, I already have a job in place, or I've already started looking. But there's others that are shocked, mad, sad, like crying. So just letting them feel what they feel, I think, is important, first of all. And letting them know that it's okay to feel whatever it is they're feeling. I think just giving them that permission, I guess, to feel those things, and then know that we're going to help them move forward. We're going to help them figure out what it is that they want to do next. And it could be doing the same thing at another company. It could be a totally different industry. Could be maybe they want to do gig work or become a consultant. Maybe they want to retire. What does that look like? So there's lots of options, and we really help them figure out what's next. And what we found, I don't have a specific story because I'm not a coach that coaches them, but from, you know, our coaching group, what we found is a lot of people find a job that's a better fit for them than where they were before. And I think part of the reason of that is because we help them to really think through some of those things about what it is they really want, instead of panicking and going, oh my God, I need a job, and then taking the first thing that comes along.
Right.
And it might not be the right fit for them. So I think that coaching is such a great tool for them to be able to find that next best thing. And a lot of times we get them a better salary because we help them figure out how to negotiate.
Well, interestingly enough, I can share a story where that happened, and hopefully she's okay with me. It's actually my wife. So after this, I'll go upstairs and see, and if she's not okay with it, I guess we're getting Ivan to cut this part out. And this happened a long time ago. She was working at a place, and it was quite a drive. We had moved. She had negotiated to kind of just be in 2 or 3 days a week and then work the other days from home. One day she showed up at work when she wasn't planning on being in the office. And lo and behold, there was someone sitting in her seat. And basically the message was, oh yeah, we were going to fire you. We're just training this person. So that was rather unexpected.
Oh, yeah.
So it was rather unexpected. Obviously, as you said, you know, obviously an emotional roller coaster, but very quickly thereafter, she did find another job. It was probably a better fit. It was closer. It paid more. She was happier. The team was better. In hindsight, it was a blessing. But of course, at the time, it wasn't at all.
Yeah.
So that was a story where, yeah, one of those things happened and the end result was far better. But that's my story, or that's her story.
Yes.
I would love to understand a little bit more about you and hear from you. What is it that you love about what you do? And are there any parts of the job that you find particularly challenging?
Oh, let's see. What can I say if my boss listens to this? Yeah, I just find it's so fascinating how different companies manage their people. Like staying with the outplacement theme, I guess, there's some companies that are ticking a box and go, okay, we have to offer it, but we're not going to give you any of the employees' contact information and they can call you if they want it. Well, most people don't know what it is. They don't know that it's free. They don't know, like, free for them, the company pays for it. And they don't know the value that it'll bring for them. So those people don't end up usually using our services. And those are the companies I think, are you doing it just because your lawyer said you should offer it, but you don't really want to pay for it? Those companies kind of make me think, it's probably a good thing the person's going, right?
Right.
And then there's other companies that just make it so easy for their people and really want to see their people succeed. And those companies are the ones I think that are really doing talent right. They're really giving their people the opportunity. They're happy when they see their people succeed. They give people lots of opportunity to succeed. Usually when people are letting people go, if it's not a large outplacement, typically there's a reason why they're letting people go. So I usually like to ask because then it helps us help that person better. And so sometimes you get companies that say, well, you know, we give them lots of opportunity for training. We sent them out for training. Their managers worked with them and they've just done a lot to try to make that person successful. And those are the companies I really, really like to work with.
Marlene, do you do any work? Because you said sometimes it can be really challenging and it sounds like that's part of the culture. Yeah, I just want to tick the box to be able to say that I've done this.
Yeah.
Is there any education or training or work that you can do to essentially educate people around it should be more than just ticking a box? This should be something that you are doing to help your people and here's why.
Yeah, we try to educate our clients as much as possible about different reasons. And there's like all kinds of reasons around, you know, why diversity is better for the company and why outplacement is a good thing to do and leadership development and all these different things. Some companies just see their talent as a huge expense, but it's also a huge asset, right? And you have to be willing to support that asset and give that asset everything they need to be successful. And I think if companies could do that or could see that in a better way versus just seeing the expense of it, like I think they would be so much better off. So we try to do that when we have our calls with customers and try to talk a little bit about the return on investment, which from a people perspective, it's kind of like yucky to think of it that way, really, right? I really want to think about it from a human perspective, and it's a good thing to do and a right thing to do, but companies are in business to make money.
Yep.
So really helping them to see what the value of supporting their people is, I think the only way to get some of those companies to really find the value in providing those services to them.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
So Marlene, one of the things that we've noticed when we talk to successful people, they will often cite influential people in their life or mentors that they've worked with. And for example, my other business partner, Joe, is not here, but Al is. And Al and Joe will often talk about how beneficial it's been for them to work under my leadership. And people will see Al giggling at this point. And of course, I'm joking. But, you know, in all honesty, there's been a lot of people in my life that have been strong influences and mentors and part of the reason where I am where I am. So are there any people that you have like that in your life? And what have they done for you?
Yeah, I do. There's a few. So my first one, I would always say, is my dad. He was an entrepreneur. He had his own pharma company. I remember in one of the rooms in his business, my sister and I and his partner's sons, they're putting labels on stuff. Like, but just the way that he ran his company, he was really kind of before his time. And I remember asking him some questions at his retirement. The whole company flew to Nova Scotia, because he was working from Nova Scotia then, flew to Nova Scotia to throw him this huge retirement party. And I was like, wow, like these people really appreciate my dad and what he's done. And so I was asking some of them and they said, well, he really drove me to want to be successful. He let me do what I needed to do. He let me learn from my mistakes. And I asked my dad about that. And he said, well, my job as a leader is to really drive the strategy of the company. And so I surrounded myself with people that could do that. And I trusted them to do their job. And I trusted them and their expertise. And so I often think about that when I'm talking about leadership with people, about leading from behind and giving people the things that they need to do well in their roles and to feel comfortable to be successful or to fail and learn from those failures without repercussion. Like what we talk about today is that safe space or psychological safety he was doing way back then. So I think as far as being a leader in a business, I always kind of think of that as kind of a rule or a measure that I've kind of put other bosses that I've worked for under that. And then I think even of bosses that were maybe not great bosses, you learn from them as well. So probably she was probably my first boss in my working world. And quite honestly, I was kind of afraid of her. Mm-hmm. You always had to be prepared when she came. So you knew if she was coming, you'd be studying all your clients. You'd be studying, okay, where am I at with all this work that I'm doing? Because she'll just like snap a question out of you and you'd have to know. So like back in the day in sales, you used to drive down the street and pull into companies instead of, you know, all the virtual sales we do nowadays. And we would drive down the street and she's like, who's the HR manager for this company? Who's your contact for that company? And you had to know the answer, because why don't you know that? When have you called them last? What did you talk about? You had to know all of that stuff. So she taught me a lot about preparation and being prepared. Yeah. So I learned something, whether the boss is a great boss or not a great boss. But I think there were both people, I think, that helped shape the way I think about work and leadership.
Yeah.
Is your dad still around?
Yeah, he is.
I would love, when this episode comes out, I would love if you would share it with him.
I will.
Yeah, I would love that, because my dad's not around anymore. And I would love if, because I could see it, and most people will consume this via audio, but maybe this will be the clip that comes out. But to see that pride when you're talking about your dad, I think it would be something very nice that you could share with him. And I would love for you to share that. And I'd love for you to come back and let me know what he thought about that part. But you're absolutely right. Those people that put pressure on you, really, I think it's like the old coal, right? You put enough pressure on coal, it turns into a diamond. So I think those people are valuable as well. But the quote, bad bosses, I think, because I've had those along the way as well, they shape who you are. To me, every opportunity to work with someone is a learning opportunity. You know, for us, great clients and maybe not so great clients, right? The not so great clients that phone up and use expletives to Debbie, and I terminated 30 days later. You learn things like that, and your team learns things from that as well. So I think a number of people have obviously shaped your life and turned you into the great person that you are today. And I'm not blowing smoke. Whenever I see you at these events, it's so much fun to hang out with you. So hopefully we get to do more of those.
Thank you. Yeah, that would be fun. And you know, on LinkedIn, I have written about my dad a couple of times, and my mom too. Like my mom was a stay-at-home mom back in those days. But then when my dad started his company, she started working there with him. But she's always been like a really great, just like great common sense and just a lot of patience. Like when I see her with my kids and teaching them stuff, like when they wanted to learn to drive, I'm like, wait till we go to Nova Scotia for the summer and you can go with my mom, because she's the best person. She's not going to like panic or scream at you or any of that stuff that I will probably do. So they're just both really great. So I write about both of them quite a bit on my LinkedIn. Actually, my kids too, like they're all in there.
I find it really interesting that when you spoke about your dad and how he treated his employees and the team and, you know, the things he said, he didn't need an HR person to tell him how to treat people. Mm-hmm. He probably didn't have a professional coach or anything like that. He just got it.
Yeah.
Right? He just understood that that's how you treat people. And obviously the team really paid it back to him and really appreciated that from the story you've told. Looking forward, Marlene, tell us about your future career goals. What steps are you planning to take over the next 5 years? Where do you see yourself?
I really enjoy what I do now. And I think I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. And I know that's kind of like a lame response, I suppose, maybe for some people. But yeah, I just really think there's still so much I can do to help companies be better, like make work better for their employees. Make work better is kind of the career joy tagline, but it really makes sense. And like, I really enjoy doing that. And when I think of my career, and like, I'm still an individual contributor and I'm in my mid 50s, but I think that's okay. Like, you don't have to climb the ladder to become a VP to be a leader in what you do. And I think that message is a good message to send to people. And yeah, I just think I really enjoy what I do. Maybe do some other things on the side. One of the things that I've really become fascinated with is, and you guys probably won't relate to this, but is around menopause in the workplace. I recently went to a Women in Health in the Workplace that was put on by Globe and Mail. And the HR leader from the Globe and Mail has just implemented a menopause policy about helping people to learn more about what that is and how it affects women and how it impacts their work and how to make it a safe space for women to talk about that with their managers. Because when I went through that, I had a male manager and I just kind of suffered in silence, thought for a little while I had like early onset dementia or something. But I think, you know, doing something like that is something that I'm starting to become a little bit more passionate about, and how to make that easier for people to talk about. Like, it's easier to talk about mental health in the workplace today. So how can we help talk about some of these other things and make them more normal?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head. And this isn't just about that subject. It's about when you don't experience this naughty part of your life, you don't really understand what the other person is, in some cases, even talking about. Like you said, like, it's something that's totally foreign, something I've never had to do. And that goes across the spectrum. Like, when there's something that you just don't have to encounter, yeah, it's not a challenge in your life. You're like, well, what's the big deal? But that's because you don't understand it, right?
Yeah.
Is there a hospital right now, I think, that's got a little bit of a campaign around this type of thing? Because I know I've seen a couple of social media ads somewhere.
Yes. Julie Black is doing a campaign with Mount Sinai.
Okay. Yes, that's right.
They have like a cold plunge they're doing. I thought about it, but I'm like, I want to support, but I don't want to be cold. And they have like a shirt that they're selling now that says Hot and Bothered.
Yes, so that's it.
I did get that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought this up, actually, because to your point, would Al and I, would this resonate with us? No, not necessarily. But as you're chatting about it, I'm thinking about the whole reason behind this podcast, right? Success leaves clues. Let's have conversations with successful people, find out their challenges, find out their, you know, little clues that we can tease out that might be beneficial to other people.
Yeah.
And to your point, Al, if this isn't something that you've lived in your life, you're not even going to think about it.
Yeah.
And I think you just gave something for a lot of people in leadership positions to think, oh, that never would have crossed my mind. We should be doing something along these lines, mm-hmm. right? So that right there, Marlene, is something I think is going to be a takeaway for people to say, hey, that's something that maybe we need to look into further. And with Julie Black doing promotions on that, and I think that's really valuable. So again, I'm glad you brought it up, because that's the whole idea of this podcast, to tease out those things that are going to be relevant and interesting and helpful to people.
Yeah. And there's another group called the Menopause Foundation. And on their website, they have a whole program on how to implement menopause policies or to talk about menopause in the workplace. So they have like great support in helping companies talk about something that most people will find uncomfortable or don't know enough about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm glad you brought it up. Al, is it time?
Oh, it's
coming
time.
Up? I think it's time.
It's time.
Marlene, as you know by now, Al has a signature question he loves to ask. And of course, we love to hear the answers because they're always different. So I'll let Al take it away.
Wonderful. There's a beautiful proverb that says, a society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So I love the message here, and I'm wondering what proverbial trees you are planting in your life or your career that you hope will benefit others in the future.
I've given this some thought because I knew this was coming. And I kind of waffled between a few things. And I think the thing that I'd love to say is something that I wish I had done early in my career, that 6 weeks that I took to figure out what is it that I really love? What kind of company do I want to work for? What are my passions? And how can I make money doing that? And if people could take that time earlier in their career and figure that out, I just feel like their careers would flow so much more easily. Like there was a podcast you did, I wrote his name down because I wanted to remember. Brendan Taylor from Mavericks VFX.
Yep. Yeah.
And thinking about how he loved film and all of this thing, and he was just enjoying what he's doing. But then somebody said, well, if you're making it a business, you need to be serious about it. And he made it into this business that he's just thriving and loving. So that's the kind of idea, I think. If I could help people find that thing that they can thrive in and, you know, make a life out of, that's what I would love to leave behind.
Yeah, you made a really good point, and it's something that I think as we all get a little bit older and we look back on our careers, I know I feel this way. I wish I could, or I hope I can pass on some of the things that I've learned to someone who is, you know, 25 or 30 or 35 and give them a bit of a head start versus them having to wait, like you've said, till I'm 55 or 60 or 65 or whatever, and I finally got it figured out. So I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that's a great goal for you to have to help some people realize their passion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure some younger people listening to this episode will take that and say, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that, right? And hopefully by the time they're in their mid-50s, as you said, Marlene, they're thinking, wow, that podcast we listened to way back then paid dividends. And thank goodness we took the time to listen to it. Marlene, we've always had so many good conversations in person. I'm so glad you're able to come on the podcast. For listeners who want to find out more about you or what your company's doing, what's the best way to reach out to you?
I would probably say LinkedIn is probably a good way. So I'm Marlene Carrington. We do have a website as well. It's just careerjoy.com. But yeah, the best way, if they want to reach me directly, would probably be LinkedIn.
Okay. And next event we're both attending, let's make sure we find each other and hang out for a bit because it's always a pleasure. Well, that does it for today's episode. Hope you can tell we really enjoyed this conversation. Hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or join the conversation on LinkedIn. We saw it here today. Success leaves clues, my friends. We'll see you next time.